Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to welcome to the Salieri Report Bonnie Faulkner, who's the host of KPFA's wonderful show, Guns and Butter. I've had the opportunity to be on Guns and Butter several times. Bonnie and I, in particular, did a series I love that she inspired called Unpacking Mr. Global. And we just did one on the black budget in anticipation of the conference that we've just both been part of, the Secret Space Program and Breakaway Civilization Conference in San Mateo. I should also mention Bonnie helped me tremendously put together a special report for the Salieri Report called Getting to Real Solutions that we did on one of my trips to California a year or two ago, and it's in the archives. And it is my real pleasure to welcome to the Salieri Report Bonnie Faulkner.
Catherine, thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Well, you know, there was such a large amount of information that was shared with us for 2 days during the conference that when I realized I wanted to report to the subscribers, I said, you know, I really am going to need help. And I was so glad you could join us because you are very thorough, very discerning, very grounded, and you have a history of dealing with the most sort of overwhelming geopolitical and economic information on the planet, whether, you know, at the global level or at the micro level. So, you know, I really appreciate your doing this. So tell us what you thought.
Well, it was an incredible conference. Of course, 2 days, 12 hours a day, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., with each speaker given an hour and a half. That's a long presentation. We only broke twice to eat dinner and lunch. And so it was an incredible, incredible data dump. And I sat in the dark all 12 hours taking notes. And, of course, the other half, the technical half of Guns and Butter, was there with me, Yara Mako. We recorded all of the audio, and I'm going to go to work on that audio in the very near future and cut some hour-long radio shows out of the presentation. It was really overwhelming. The speakers, here we had this group of incredibly intelligent people who have spent lifetimes dealing with very difficult subjects and trying to figure out what is going on. You know, Catherine, my overall takeaway from the Secret Space Program and Breakaway Civilization Conference is that with the scientific knowledge and technology that has been known now for many decades, we should be living in an era of human liberation. But instead, we live under domination. And this is a theme that I am getting hit with constantly. And, of course, it was a major theme for me at the Secret Space Conference, that the information is there. We have the technology, the know-how. It is not just being hidden and subverted, but actual scientific data is being falsified. I can't remember which speaker it was, but I believe it was in a discussion within the context of electrical engineering, and one of the speakers made the point that actual mathematical calculations have been subverted or falsified so that someone studying advanced knowledge on electrical subjects cannot understand electricity in an advanced way because the actual science has been corrupted. It's very, very shocking. And in this conference, really the focus was more on the science, although this domination that we live under, of course, affects all aspects of life, be it education, scientific inquiry, the funding of research. You talk about the educational system, our institutions, the media, et cetera, et cetera. You can look at the food industry. You can look at all aspects, and we're dealing with the same overall problem. And that was brought out by each of the speakers, and that the people that are running things, the wrong people, are in power. And this is our problem, and this is what came up over and over again at the conference.
Although, you know, it's interesting. I'm not sure I agree with the thesis that the wrong people are running things in this sense. We don't understand yet what, in fact, they're managing and the risks that they're managing. And so I see behavior, and I'm not saying I agree with their conclusions or how they're going about it, but I also do not know what the risk issues, you know, that they're dealing with. There's a wonderful cut. Our movie this week is Mirage Men, which is about the use of disinformation, professional disinformation by government. And in it, Richard Dolan, who was speaking at the conference, has a very good cut when he says, let's face it, you know, if you look at some of the possible scenarios of what may be true, it's very dark, you know, and very ugly. And he mentions what some of them are. And so, you know, I don't know that, because if you go back and you look at the history of some of the worst, you know, most, you know, human painful decisions that have been made by the Black Budget Group over the last 40 or 50 years, you know, what you hear again and again from various people is it was the best of many bad options. So I would just say one of the hopes we had in doing this conference was to try and see if we couldn't make progress among some of the serious researchers in trying to figure out, you know, what really is going on. And of course, the answer is we don't know.
That's absolutely right. And at the conference, we watched these incredibly bright and experienced people struggling with trying to figure out what is going on and then present it to us in a way that we could incorporate it or understand it. But that's absolutely right. We don't know what's going on.
Well, let's just run through the different speakers so that everyone gets a sense of what happened. We'll just do it quickly. We opened the first morning. Of course, we had as the host Henrik Pahlgren from Red Ice, and I was so pleased he could do it because I think Red Ice has done a marvelous job of trying to frame out the uncertainty, if you will, in this area. And he's Swedish, and he set a tone of seriousness, which I appreciated. So he opened up, and then the first speaker was Mark McCandlish, in fact, who's going to be on the Solari Report next week. So maybe if you could just give us a 30-second to 60-second description of him.
Well, Catherine, I was very excited to see that you're going to have him on next week. He was extremely intelligent. Gave a very good presentation. He's done these expert drawings of advanced aircraft, and he went through the technology and the pictures. Of course, his presentation was very much dependent on the visuals. And I wanted to mention just very quickly that in one of the Q&A sessions, he actually started talking about aerosol spraying and chemtrails, and he was clearly knowledgeable on that subject as well. And so
right.
I'm very much looking forward to your interview with him. He was a very intelligent guy.
Yeah, I have not seen him present before. It was through the conference that I learned of him, and I was very impressed. He went through some of the propulsion technology issues, and for the first time, I've struggled to understand some of what he was saying before, and it was the first time I went, aha, you know, now I get it. And so, yeah, so we'll be talking next week about advanced technologies, the breakaway civilization, and I think it's important to dive into that subject because it is so much at the heart. You know, if you look at the ability of a relatively small group of people to assert central control of the planet, a lot of it comes from the power, you know, that comes to you from the advanced technology, including the financial power, because the advanced technology is what sort of helps you engineer the financial sort of control. Then we went on to Michael Schrat.
Yes, Michael Schrat, pretty much, he was excellent as well. He had a very good presentation. It was, I thought, very, very accessible. And he really elaborated on Mark McCandlish's very intricate and expert drawings. He, of course, we get into this heavy-duty science here, and Yara was taking some screenshots for me off of his iPhone, and I'm looking at some of Michael Schratt's discussion and description of something called a TR3B, and we get into some pretty heavy science when he tries to explain some of this advanced technology in these aircrafts, magnetic field disruptors, and I've written out a lot of it, and I'm looking at this, and it's complicated science, and I wish I had a scientific background, because he talked about magnetic field disruptors utilizing a mercury liquid plasma, and this came up in a lot of the presentations, this advanced science that is used in some of this very advanced aircraft.
One of the things, and it was Joseph Farrell, Dr. Farrell, who was the inspiration, every indication is a lot of the sightings, you get hundreds, if not thousands of sightings every year of UFOs. One of the things that we had hoped to achieve with this conference is to make it clear, how feasible it is that a tremendous amount of this stuff at a minimum is our stuff.
Yeah,
so I think I thought Mark and Michael did a great job of making clear that if you look at what's behind the black budget in terms of, aeronautic achievements, there's an incredible amount of pretty advanced stuff that the average person has no idea about other to see it fly by.
Right, exactly. And there was a lot of information given out on Lockheed and their Skunk Works. And some experts that have actually spoken out, and they were quoting some of the people that have worked on a lot of this advanced aircraft, which, of course, is not generally publicly known.
Right. And then we went on to Joseph Farrell was next, I believe.
Well, Joseph Farrell, and he spoke twice, and he had the most organized presentation of anyone in his slides, all broken down into all outlined. And, of course, he talked at length about the U.S. National Security Military Intelligence Finance Complex and how the security apparatus, the military, the intelligence, and finance all interact. And really, Catherine, a lot of the conference was an historical overview of these subjects beginning in post-World War II, because it was this era, post-World War II, with the development of the nuclear industry and the formation of the power structures after World War II, that a lot of this technology and black budget was developed. And, of course, Joseph Farrell talked at length about German technology developed during and after the war. I was absolutely aghast when he started to speak about how, at a certain point post-World War II, the country of Argentina might have been ahead of the U.S., in its research into nuclear fusion. And then I kept thinking, Argentina. But then, of course, he brings out a point that the Germans, the Nazis, were all down in Argentina. And then it started to make a little bit of sense. But his presentation was very complex with lots and lots of information on it. He talked about the financial setup after the war, where the Axis plunder, not only from Germany but from Japan as well, vast sums of wealth were, of course, confiscated by the U.S., by the Allied powers. And he even mentioned a fact about the Bilderberg Group, which I had never heard before, that the Bilderberg Group, which was set up post-World War II, actually had as its marching orders, so to speak, in his opinion, the development of long-term plans to deal with this vast secret plunder, long-term planning as to what to finance with the plunder. And, of course, a lot of the financing went to covert operations. It's a vast subject, and we could talk for hours about this. He really put out a lot of history and information.
If you haven't, you know, I can't recommend to you, Bonnie, Joseph does a Solaria report every quarter, and we've done several series, one of which is to describe the whole history of the integration of the Nazi machinery into the U.S. military-industrial complex and what we call the metastructure and how that influenced the development of the technology and what's happening today. And he has a series of absolutely fantastic books on that subject, and I can't recommend those to you enough because they really help you see the, you know, the seeds that birthed what we're looking at now.
Oh, exactly. Anyways,
yeah.
The Reinhard Gehlen German intelligence organization, of course, continued after the war intact in Eastern Europe in liaison with the CIA. I mean, it's just a vast subject.
One of the things that I really appreciated about that particular presentation was Joseph underlining for everyone again and again what it meant from a in terms of global governance, to put the intelligence community in charge of a hidden banking system. So you're basically creating, you know, the most powerful global banking system because it's got these incredible resources and it's secret and it's under the control of the intelligence community who are now bankers and are independently financed, if you will. So not to say they aren't getting large sums out of the government budgets, but it's literally a change of control. And if you look at the whole financial history coming into the financial coup d'etat, of course, it's the basis. So I thought he did a good job. Okay, so that's when I got pulled off to go do a taping. And then we had the next speaker was Robert Morningstar.
Now, I missed most of Robert Morningstar's presentation because his a PowerPoint presentation was not put together, and he had all sorts of technical problems and did not have his PowerPoint apparatus ready to go, and so he fooled around with it so long that I basically missed his presentation.
And then there was a documentary that I'm hoping to get for the Solaria Report movie next week. We're trying to get access. That is a one made by on the topic of Mark McClanlish and the Flux Liner. It's called Zero Point Energy. Did you see it?
I did, and they showed part of it. And of course, Mark McClanlish was featured prominently in it. There were audio problems with the film, and I don't know whether the problems were within the film itself. I understand they weren't, but they were more perhaps with the interface with the technology at the conference. And the really frightening thing about it is that the young man who had, I guess he did his a PhD thesis or some sort of a educational thesis by producing this film on Zero Point, he had a very, very untimely death from...
It was poisoned.
Radioactivity. He was contaminated. And it was all under suspicious conditions. But the man who was his best friend, who funded the film and who took care of him when he was ill, was actually there at the conference and spoke a bit in some of the Q&A.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping – I was out off filming, so I didn't get to see it, but I'm hoping to get it and be able to watch it in time to have it on the Solaria Report. Okay, so then we went – I believe that we went to dinner and then came back for a panel, which I thought was absolutely dreadful. I'll just be the bad guy and say it. You know, what a group of us had wanted to do with the organizers, we said – to the wonderful group, it's the Global BEM team who had done the Breakthrough Energy conferences, we said that we would be involved if this was serious research. So our contention was, we don't know what's going on. We know some, but we don't know a lot. We need to get serious research together, and we need to deal with the complexity of the phenomena and see what we can figure out by coming together. But we need, as Dr. Farrell said, a new conference culture. This is not, you know, this is not designed to be group therapy, you know, to sort of come to terms with dealing with unpleasant things. This is designed to be serious intellectual research. And what happened, unfortunately, Steve Bassett was put on the panel, and I, you know, I've dealt with him, I've talked to him by email and sort of met him briefly, but I didn't know him. And unfortunately, he and Robert Morningstar proceeded to, you know, whine and encourage the crowd to be emotional and talk about how this was unfair and, you know, all this kind of other stuff. And as far as I'm concerned, it was just unbearable. So I'll be the bad guy and say that.
Well, I think that, I don't enjoy Bassett's presentations either. He's extremely long-winded and takes up way too much time. But I will say, on the positive side of that first Q&A, Joseph Farrell was on there, and he was quite interesting. And so I enjoyed that. And, of course, McCandlish was on the panel. I mean, there were a few people on there who had a lot of very good things to say. So I would say it was kind of a mixed bag.
Right. Well, I very much wanted to hear more from them. So yes. I was sorry to leave to lose the time for group therapy. Okay. So the next day we opened up and I was the first speaker, and, what was very gratifying for me, because I felt much more comfortable speaking, than I normally do on this subject. And that is because, if you remember, I put up a slide with a big, you know, I did the planetary balance sheet with a circle. And on the asset side of the balance sheet, there's, you know, half the section is black with this big question mark about it. And what was wonderful for me, Bonnie, is I could just talk to one side of the balance sheet and depend on Mark and Dr. Farrell and Richard Dolan to describe what was behind that question mark. You know, I didn't have to prove that. I didn't have to describe it because I don't have expertise there. And, you know, what I can talk about is trillions of dollars going missing. But to me, what I'm saying makes a lot more sense if they're talking about where those trillions are going. And they make more sense if I can talk about, well, the money's clearly there because it all disappeared from over here. And so it just felt to me like we had both sides of the balance sheet present. And that gave me a comfort that I normally, you know, don't have, because trying to describe both in one presentation, you know, it's too much. So I enjoyed speaking, but I'll let you comment.
Well, I thought your presentation was an absolute and total blockbuster. And of course, you have lived it, and the information that you were presenting was from your own experience and your own research, and it was really, really incredible. And of course, we did the show on the black budget, this hour-long interview, and I want to encourage everyone who's listening to this to not only check out your presentation at the conference when it eventually does get up on video, but of course, the hour-long interview that we did on the black budget, incredible work. And Catherine, I thought that you brought it really, you brought it home for everyone in how the money works locally, and people could relate to it and integrate it into their own lives and see exactly what you were talking about in a very concrete way. You've lived it, and I was very impressed with your presentation, and I know that a lot of other people I've spoken to were as well.
I felt like I had to speak to the financially literate. So you're someone who has enormous background. You know, you've delved tremendously into the economics and all these issues, and so I wanted to speak to someone like you, and I think it was what I was told is some of the people who are not financial people struggled a little bit because I was going fast. But I really, you know, to me, the most important thing is we bring it down to the neighborhood, because the black budget finances one household and one neighborhood at a time. And we can't stop the drain in our lives unless we can see that and see the connection, I think. So the more our theme for this Salieri report is the black budget in your neighborhood.
Right.
So I think there's a process that is starting as more and more people understand where we can start to see how the black budget is impacting us and how we interact with it day to day and each make our own choices about how we want to bring change to that. Because that's where our power is, to see our interaction at the intimate level. So, you know, Bonnie, you've done many hours between, you know, all our different conversations trying to help figure out, not only how it works, but how to explain it. And I so appreciate that because that's the point of power and the point to reverse the economic drain and build wealth. You know, which is, I think, what we all have to do. We have to find solutions that you know, as I always say, turn the red button green. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So then we, I'm trying to remember who came next. It was...
John Rappaport.
Oh, my God. How could I forget? It was amazing. It was amazing. I just have to first say that the finest speech I've ever seen in my life was John Rappaport in Cancun on vaccines, on the swine flu vaccine, and he was amazing. He was amazing, and this one was just as good. So I'll turn to you.
Well, John Rappaport got up on the stage for his 90 minutes, and he said, "Turn on the lights. I have no slides, and I have no information." And he proceeded to do a 90-minute stand-up performance art, sort of a stream of consciousness. And John Rappaport has comedic timing that is impeccable. I laughed my head off through the entire hour and a half presentation. It was brilliant. The subjects that he was dealing with were very important, very, very important, and it was funny as all get out. I thought, what a performance. And, you know, Catherine, I could totally relate to what he was saying because a lot of what he was talking about was the reaction he gets from readers or people that read his stuff or listen to his talks, and that they're always expecting him to solve the mystery for them with the question. And he dealt for an hour and a half with the question of, what am I to do? What am I supposed to do? And, of course, his emphasis was on the individual. He brought it down to the individual person and their own the creative power of the individual. And he talked about how important it was for each of us to dig deeply and decide what we could do on an individual level in a creative and imaginative way. And I've got to tell you, Catherine, I got the biggest kick out of his presentation.
Oh, it was fantastic. He's marvelous at is helping individuals understand their power. Because part, you know, what we need to deal with these situations is power. We need personal power. And the question is, okay, how do you begin to build and gather your personal power and to act? And, you know, there's nobody, I have his tapes in my car. I can listen to hours, the Rappaport, talking about how to sort of use your imagination to build power. So, okay, so then we went on to Richard Dolan.
Yes, Richard Dolan. And I had never seen a Richard Dolan speak before. And, of course, a lot of the other speakers are using Richard Dolan's stuff, I guess, or a lot of his terminology, breakaway civilization, etc. And so I very much enjoyed his presentation. And so he went through a lot of the stuff that he was going through. His own research had kind of, everybody else had kind of co-opted a little bit of it in their own talks.
Right.
How did you enjoy Richard Dolan? What did you think?
Well, Richard's been on the Salieri Report twice. First was when I found his UFO. You know, many times, Bonnie, I've delved into this topic and tried to understand it and just walked off and said, I can't make head nor tails of it. It's just all too weird. And there's so much disinformation. That's why I wanted to use the documentary Mirage Men. You know, there's so much professional disinformation. It just, you know, it just makes it very time consuming and very unproductive. And so it wasn't until I found Richard Dolan, who I found before I found Joseph Farrell. But when I found those two, I said, okay, here are two Oxford trained scholars that I can look to have, you know, they don't know all the answers, but they've created a framework that works for me. And that's when I started to say, okay, now I can start to deal with this because I can make some sense of it because I can depend on them to make some sense of it. And I think Richard Dolan has done the best job of framing, you know, what the issues are, what may be going on, what it means to the different aspects of governance and our planet, et cetera. And of course, there's tremendous uncertainty and there's a great deal he doesn't know, but he's done a very good job of, as I said, creating the framework and defining the options. So his latest book, UFOs for the 21st Century Mind, to me is the definitive book. If you want to introduce this topic to yourself or anyone, get that book. It is the framework. So, and yes, I think many of us draw on him because we can depend on Richard to kind of go in and sort of sort it out. He's got a mind that's a little bit like a diamond drill bit. And, you know, I don't want to be somebody who tried to pawn disinformation off on Richard because he'll just tear him apart. Anyway, so and of course, he's very clever and entertaining and fun to listen to and always fun to talk to. So I thought that was an excellent. And he, one of the things he did was he said, I'm ready to take this to a whole new level. I'm going to, you know, so he did a whole new presentation that assumed the audience knew a tremendous amount. He didn't have to teach him. And so it was like all of us, we're going to kind of try and go to the next level here. And then, so who was next after Richard? Oh, Joseph came back.
We had Joseph Farrell for a second time.
Yeah, that was fabulous.
It was fabulous, and I'm trying to remember what he got into in the second presentation. Of course,
he
had a lot to do with his first presentation.
Right. He spent much more time talking about the relationship between the UFO phenomena and nuclear energy and nuclear technology, which is a very important facet, and I thought was very interesting. And then he hammered again on the role of what happens when you put the intelligence agencies, you know, when you make them the most powerful bankers in the world. So, or, you know, very powerful bankers. And I had talked about the integration. He defined the hidden financial system. And then I talked about that and the black budget and then the overt financial system and how they sort of have merged together. And I think he hit on some more of those points as well. Okay. So then we went to Carol Rosen.
Yes. I wanted to say one word about Joseph Farrell and the financial. You cover so much of the financial, the secret budget, the black budget in today's world. And I guess Farrell was concentrating on how it was all put together post-World War II with the Akron plunder. One thing I wanted to mention, which I thought I don't understand myself, but I thought was very important, is that Joseph Farrell talked about nuclear capabilities being a gateway to other capabilities having to do with zero-point energy, and that this knowledge could be extremely dangerous. And, of course, I don't understand zero-point energy, but this nexus between zero-point and nuclear capabilities, I could see that was extremely important, and I want to keep that in mind in the future because that's something to follow up on.
Right. One of the a point very well made by several speakers is that, you know, this technology in the wrong hands is very dangerous. So if it's being suppressed, there is a very logical reason why it might be.
Exactly. Yes.
Right. Then the next speaker was Carol Rosen.
Yes, Carol Rosen was the final speaker. And, of course, Carol Rosen is famous because she worked with Wernher von Braun in the later stages of his life and actually, I believe, was his spokesperson in certain public forums because he was very, very ill. And so her remarks about her work with Wernher von Braun, of course, are very important. But her presentation was quite long-winded and more focused pretty much on her own belief system in terms of what is actually happening, more than any really hard science she got from Wernher von Braun. What did you think, Catherine?
Well, Carol is a person who I like enormously, but when she comes to what she believes, I disagree completely. or I shouldn't say completely, but I don't have certainty. And I'm the kind of person who I need to see facts. I need to see evidence. I need to see, and it needs to make financial sense to me. You know, everything comes back to my tool, which is money. And so, for example, Carol believes that ETs exist and they're all friendly. And my attitude is, if that's the case, how could any of this be going on? You know, there's somebody around here who's very not friendly. So, and it's funny, I have struggled to understand this topic. One of the things I know personally from having seen them is UFOs exist. But if you look at how much money's been disappearing on the planet, that's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they could have been built here. So, you know, and if we look at Mark and Michael and Richard's presentation, you know, certainly I believe we have the technology to build them and field them and et cetera. So, you know, this is a topic I struggle with because I have no personal knowledge. And the one thing I do, the one time I said to myself, I was listening to Whitley Strieber speak about his personal experience. He had, of course, New York Times bestselling author, incredible, very brilliant man. He was giving a presentation and someone in the audience stood up and said, do any of the movies about, you know, being with ETs communicate what it's really like? And he said, no, not even close. And they said, why? And he stopped. He's very precise, very thorough. He stopped and he thought, he sat there on stage and he didn't say a word for like 30 seconds. He was thinking, he was struggling with a way to explain. And you could tell it was very hard because he wanted to, you know, he wanted to communicate what he knew, but he was struggling. And finally he said, I cannot find words in the English language to explain to you how strange it is. And when he said it, a bell went off in my mind. I said, uh-oh, this may be true. And so we're talking about something which, you know, if it's true, is very, very, you know, the communication challenges are beyond, you know, difficult and complex, if it's true. So anyway, so I'm not, you know, I'm a risk manager at heart. And so the idea that if there are other people flying around in the universe, the idea that they're all friendly is not one I resonate with. It's like, okay, show me. So, you know, but I love Carol, and I think her stories of working with Wernher von Braun are very interesting. So then we went.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
She's a lovely, lovely person. Absolutely.
Yeah, great person. And a very, very accomplished person. And she's very interested in she's developed a peace treaty for space and has been working with people around the world to try and do that. Of course, we see the Russians and the Chinese get together now to announce a joint space program this week. You know, the goal trying to be to keep space and the moon and, you know, free of weapons. Now, my guess is that, you know, there are weapons in space now. So I think if there's one topic that's behind a secret wall, it's, you know, what weapons are out there already. So anyway, so then we went to the panel and Q&A with the speakers from Saturday. And I thought that was pretty interesting, with some great points made. Why don't I turn to you to see what you found interesting?
Well, of course, you were on the panel. John Rappaport was on the panel. He was excellent, of course. Richard Dolan, Joseph Farrell. It was a great panel. And, of course, the panels go for 2 hours. The panel talks. And then, of course, you take Q&A from the audience. And the one unfortunate thing is that we were running out of time, and so some of the panelists as well as some of the questioners had to get cut off. So that was too bad. But no, I thought that was a very good panel. What did you? What was your experience on it?
Well, my favorite moment was when John Rappaport was talking about personal responsibility again and sort of the power of you. And he's going to be on in 2 weeks on the Solari Report to do that presentation for the Solari Report subscribers. I want to call it Selling You to You. And then, but my other favorite time, we have a wonderful subscriber who asked a question about women and men. And I believe, of course, one of the key control points is to turn men and women against each other, or not so much against each other, but to always keep sort of castrating each other and not helping each other build power. You know, I think we should be in, I think men should help women become more powerful and women should help men become more powerful. And that's all part of this development of personal power. And I have a lot of feelings and thoughts about that. I've been writing something called Promoting Women about that topic on the Solari Report over the last 2 months. And I started it, but then Richard Dolan went off.
Of his great remarks. And I'm
oh, my God. It was to watch
Richard Dolan. He's right.
Right. To watch male testosterone blossom in the service of a advanced, you know, and healthy civilization. He just went at it. And it was like, that is what I love about male testosterone. And then Farrell, you know, got inspired and he did too. And I thought the two of them were absolutely beautiful. It was just a beautiful sight to behold. So that was watching Dolan and then Farrell go off on that topic was my, you know, was my personal, one of my personal favorites. Okay, well, before I turn to the next topic, anything else you want to say about the speakers or your experience or?
Well, the one thing that I would emphasize is that there was a tremendous amount of information, very, very credible information about a secret space program based right here on Earth. It doesn't have to be extraterrestrial. There was evidence presented by many speakers of the advanced aircraft and spaceship type technology and aircraft that was developed right here, much of it by Lockheed at the Skunk Works. And so I just want to emphasize that there was a lot of very credible and knowledgeable expertise on those subjects. And I thought that was very important, a takeaway from this conference.
Yeah, it was good. It was very good. I can't wait to get this, you know, to get all of it in one package and have it and watch it over again, because some of the technology I need to hear many times before I really understand. Two topics I wanted to talk about, Bonnie, from the material that we gathered. One is, one of the points I made was that to me the black budget is one of the primary sources of inequality on the planet today, or the forces coming through, or the forces that the black budget is dealing with, whichever way we want to describe it. And it's interesting, 2 weeks ago there was an article, or 3 weeks ago in the Wall Street Journal, an editorial saying, oh, technology is causing inequality. You know, the idea being, oh, it's all just a giant accident. You bring this technology in and it creates inequality. And the technology it cited is causing all of this was the semiconductor, which I believe was, you know, transferred out of the black budget into Silicon Valley and the ring around Boston. You know, and so my attitude is the taxpayers paid for it. But it gets transferred out, and of course it creates this, you know, process where you get inequality, and I think the inequality is coming from the fact that there's no return to the people who financed it.
Yes. And also a question that I would have for you with regard to the black budget and the new areas that are being financed, like, well, you're talking about Silicon Valley and technology, are the jobs created in the new boom, let's say, it's not going to create as many jobs as we've had in the past, is it?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. Although I think if it appears to me that the breakaways want to build a significant infrastructure in North America to build a significant effort into space. And I think that will create enough economic activity and spin off enough related jobs that, in fact, you know, some people believe there will be, you know, a sufficient number of jobs. The challenge with all of this is you're talking about jobs that require a certain level of intellectual capacity and training. And we know that what's happening with part of the population is their intellectual capacity and training is being steadily reduced. So, you know, you seem to be dividing up the you know, the population into people who can handle advanced technology and engineering and scientific issues and a whole group of people who are literally, you know, getting a government check and watching TV. So you have this division, which is extraordinary. And I think it's, you know, it's part of what's at the heart of what is very spiritually disturbing about what's happening.
Yes, that's exactly right, because you don't see the broad-based economy that is going to benefit people across the board. It's going to be a much smaller, segmented intellectual group at the same time that our educational system is downgraded.
One of the things that many of us who were speaking have struggled with is, you know, we are dealing in the breakaways with a group of people who are exceptionally competent in many different, you know, in terms of management, finance, technology. They're exceptionally well educated and they know how to get things done. They know how to organize, exercise, implement power. They know how to govern. And I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm not saying they don't make mistakes, but you know, we're talking about a fairly serious society. And when we try and communicate the different issues, it takes a certain amount of complexity because society is complex, technology is complex. And, you know, at various times we're asked to make it simple, make it understandable. And in some respects we can, but in other respects we can't because it's not simple. It's not, you know, there is a certain complexity involved. And more important, we don't have all the answers. You know, if we had all the answers, if we knew everything, it would be much easier. So part of the struggle is how do you communicate this stuff and make it accessible in a way that's energizing for everybody. And I think that's we're all still trying to find a way to do that. And it's one of the reasons I love Guns and Butter, because you seem to be one of the better people at sort of, you know, clicking back and forth between us all. Okay, another thing I wanted to talk about is I have a particular frustration in my life. And that is, for 15 years, I have been part of a financial world. And I say, you know, many people, many of the experts, many of the leaders say it's all going to collapse. And I say, no, it's not. It's going to slow burn. And if they bother, which a lot of times they don't, to say, well, why do you think it's going to slow burn? And I try and explain, they just say, oh, I don't want to go there. I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to hear that. And so the next year they say it's going to collapse and it slow burns. And, you know, this has gone on for 15 years. And the reality is I went to a financial conference last fall and everyone is saying, oh, it's all going to collapse. And I was saying, no, it's not going to collapse. The breakaways have shifted $40 trillion out of the legacy economy and they are reinvesting it. And where they are reinvesting it, those areas are very strong. So if you come to Silicon Valley, if you go to Austin, Texas, if you go to the ring around Boston, you know, or you go to the oil and gas patch, you know, where they're building the local energy to, you know, to fuel all this manufacturing, you see very, very strong economies. So where they're reinvesting that $40 trillion, you've got things are growing gangbusters. So we need to be very clear about which part of the economy we're talking about, the legacy systems or, you know, the systems that are getting the reinvestment of this money that's been shifted. We're watching a shift of capital, not a disappearance of capital. And so it was very gratifying for me to be able to talk about the kinds of technology and resources that are basically available to this group. And my message in the, you know, to the financial experts who are predicting collapses, look, your world is being collapsed. It's not collapsing, it's being collapsed. This other world is growing up and it's strong. I'm not saying I like that. I'm saying that's reality. And I think, you know, for 15 years, it's slow burned. It hasn't collapsed. And yet I'm still dealing with a large group of financial people who are saying, well, now it's going to collapse. And they refuse to listen or look at all of this. And so this conference and anyway, so let me get back to San Francisco, because San Francisco is a perfect example of an economy that is unbelievably strong. I think that's going to continue. Because you're seeing in Silicon Valley the, you know, sort of the reverse engineering, a lot of this black budget technology. If anything, I think that's going to grow and continue, not to mention the fact that the new digital currencies are very much dependent on information technology. You know, to me, it's not a surprise that we see the new head of the Federal Reserve, the former president of the San Francisco Fed, because, you know, the New York Fed has been the mothership of the Federal Reserve system. But as the currency goes digital, I think the San Francisco Fed and San Francisco is going to get more and more, you know, important. So my feeling is San Francisco is a great example of the impact of this black budget technology on the economy. And one of the reasons the economy isn't collapsing in the sense that many people is expected. So I know you cover the economy a tremendous amount in Guns and Butter. So what say you?
Well, Catherine, I think that your take on the slow burn, that you have been proved right over and over again. And as the years pass, we're not seeing collapse. We're seeing a reinvention of certain segments of the economy. It's a slow burn. And we're experiencing every year that the world is not coming to an end, that everything is not collapsing. And so I think that history has proven you right so far. So I would certainly agree with you. It's a very, very big subject. Of course, I've done a lot of shows with a variety of people on the,
right.
You know, the state of the reserve currency of the dollar and the, you know, the intercapitalist rivalry between the U.S. and Europe and now the sort of breakaway of the Russian Federation and China and the BRICS and other blocs making deals in their own currencies. So there's an awful, awful lot going on. It's a little hard to predict how it's all going to end up. But, of course, you made the very prescient point on our latest interview with the Black Budget that with the U.S. Controlling the cables under the water and the satellites in the sky, we haven't seen the end of U.S. power, not yet.
Right, but I think it's very, I think the more of us who drill down and try and understand how this process works,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think the reason I get frustrated with the guys who are saying collapse is we need a framework that helps us understand and explain reality. And the more of us that are drilling down and trying to figure out, you know, how it's exactly how it's working and why it's working the way it is, it's important. So I don't think it's important if I'm right or wrong. I think it's important that we drill down and figure out the nuts and bolts. And I think that's what one of the things that has been so helpful to me to work with Farrell and Dolan and some of the folks at the conference, because they're, you know, they teach me an enormous amount about the nuts and bolts, you know, because at some point you have to look at the balance sheet whole. You need to look at the world whole to understand how this all works. You need to integrate all this information. And, you know, it's really strange for me to say, but Bonnie, I find it overwhelming.
You mean that, Catherine?
I find it overwhelming, you know, and I just need to be able to say, well, you know, I don't know, so I'll go to sleep and get up in the morning and learn some more. And here we go.
Well, exactly. It's an evolving study, and we don't have the answers. And it's really, really very fascinating for everybody to try and figure out what is going on.
it's, you know, I have, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that John Rappaport, of course, made the a point over and over again that so many people are asleep, and that's a big problem.
Well, I think it's funny. One of the things, I just wrote a commentary a week ago on the Salieri Report called I Have a Request. Because the Salieri Report subscribers are so wonderful, and I'm very pleased you came to our luncheon in Marin, and they were all so excited because there are a lot of big Bonnie Faulkner fans in the Salieri group. And too many of them apologized for their interest in these topics. Somebody said, I'm the black sheep in my family, or people think I'm crazy. And I just said, you know, the time has come for us to stop apologizing for our willingness to face and deal with reality. You know, if the people in our family or the people around us want to pretend in the official reality, that's fine. That's their choice. But our willingness to look at and deal with reality is a strength and ultimately will protect them. I mean, as a money manager, I do not want to manage other people's money without a clear picture of what's going on. And for me to pretend in the official reality means I have to depend on the guys who pumped and dumped people, you know, in 2006. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to depend on their version of official reality because they've harvested, you know, investors again and again and again. And so, you know, I cannot and will not trust them. Now, I recognize their power and I understand, you know, that they're very much driving the economy. But at the same time, you know, their interests are not aligned necessarily with my investors' interests. So to me, it's, as I described in the presentation, it's a material omission not to take a look at this and understand. But I think the time has come for all of us to stop apologizing that we are interested in reality.
Exactly. And I just wanted to add, Catherine, that this conference was so complex and there was so much information and data to download and absorb, and so many of the speakers were brand new to me, that it's going to take a while to process all of this. And I want to encourage everybody who is listening that when the videos are put up to please take a look. Please listen to this stuff. It's an awful lot to absorb, but
oh, well, that's the truth. That's the truth. Well, Bonnie, I can't thank you enough for coming and spending 2 days out of your very busy schedule to do this. I think it added tremendous amounts. I know I can't tell you how many people thought, you know, came up to me and intimated, okay, well, this was a very significant conference because, in fact, Bonnie Faulkner was there.
And, in fact, we did record all the audio. The presentations are 90 minutes long, and I plan on making 55-minute cuts of some of the presentations and then airing them on like radio documentaries. So that will be available in audio as well, and I'm looking forward to that. It was a terrific conference, and I was so, so happy that I was able to be there.
Okay, so we can find you at kpfa.org.
kpfa.org. People can find an archive of my interview with you, The Black Budget. If they can't navigate the website or find the audio, if they send me an email, I will send them a link. Just send an email to faulkner@gunsandbutter.org. I'll send you the link to that latest with Catherine. And, of course, Catherine, you're very welcome to post that audio on Solari. And I also wanted to mention before we stop talking that I am going to be part of the Solari group here in Northern California. I met the greatest group of people, absolutely terrific. And I think it's so important, particularly after this conference, to get together with people of like mind and debrief on this. There's a lot of material to go over, so much to absorb, and of course, I've got to listen to all this audio over and over again to get up to speed. But I was just thrilled to come to your Solari luncheon and meet all of your Solari group. What a great new group of friends I've got.
Yeah, that's a great group, and that's a what a wonderful thing to sit out in the field and eat that wonderful, those wonderful salads and talk. Okay, Bonnie Faulkner, thank you so much for doing this. Have a wonderful day, and I will see you when I return to the Bay Area.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Catherine.
Bye.